Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show. I am so honored finally to get on the show. We've been trying really hard to get him, but he's so busy touring all the time, it's hard to get him. Guitar Shorty. Guitar Shorty, it's really an honor and a privilege to have you here on the show tonight.
It's good. I'm glad I could make it.
Let me get the gain up on your mic a little bit more so that you're good. You can speak a little louder if you need to. Just to give you a little bit of a background, I mean, my personal favorite story about Guitar Shorty was that he introduced Jimi Hendrix to the wah-wah pedal. And as we know, that changed history drastically. So I have to thank you for that. That was pretty cool. But before I start playing some of the music, I want to go a little bit into your background. If you could kind of, if that's uncomfortable, you can take that off, or if you want to take that off until we play. There you go. Tell us a little bit about your influences and your background, how you got into guitar playing and stuff.
Well, I started playing guitar, trying to play, when I was that high. And the first thing that I would fool around with was a piano, and my grandmother heard me playing the piano, and she ran over and said, "Ruby, do you hear what that boy doing?" And she said, "No, I didn't hear it. Do it again, son." And I was playing a boogie woogie on the keyboard. And she said, "Well, I'll be darned." And so anyway, it went from that. I started fooling around with that. And then my grandmother bought me a Gene Autry guitar. That's what I started out on.
Who made that?
Gene Autry? I don't know who made that.
Because I know he used Martins.
Yeah.
He was one of the first that used the D45, I think, was designed for him with all the inlay and stuff. But I don't remember. I don't know the companies back. What was around back then?
It was just a regular guitar with a hole in it.
Oh, a flat top.
Yeah. And so I started fooling around with that. Next thing I know, my grandmother said, "Son, I'm going to get you a teacher." So my first teacher of guitar was named Wash.
Ah.
And he liked to hear me fool around with the guitar, and he'd start showing me different things from the E string on down, on up to the E string.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guitar has two E's on it.
Right.
So that's where I started with him.
Oh, okay. Before we continue, is that AB switch set up for his two amps?
Mm-hmm.
Can you switch one to the one that's not there? So and then just remember to switch it back so that he, because I want to, or else.
That's A. That A is the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Do me a favor, because you're buzzing a lot. No. Go ahead and just roll off your volume. Is your volume all the way off?
It's all the way off. I can turn it up.
I think because the Morley is an AC pedal.
Mm-hmm.
That's where some of the.
Okay. What I'm gonna do. Until he's ready to play, is I'm going to...
Oh, here it is.
Okay. All right.
I just turned the Morley off.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Okay. But anyway, now, when you were taking these lessons, where were you living?
I was living in Florida.
Oh, okay. Now, what was the music scene like that back then in that area?
The music scene was B.B. King. B.B. King was a big thing back in those days. B.B. and T-Bone Walker, and I can't think of the other guy's name, but that was B.B. King and T-Bone Walker, and I listened to a little bit of Earl Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
Was Guitar Slim?
Yeah, Guitar Slim.
Slim, yeah. That was one of your influences.
I went on the road with Guitar Slim when I first started playing guitar.
Right, but you also played with T-Bone and B.B. King, right?
Yeah.
That must have been fun. You grew up listening to them, and then you're playing with them?
Yeah.
That had to be cool. That was pretty good. But so you were listening, a lot of that music was, you would hear that on the radio? I have no clue, you know, what was played at that time. There wasn't, you know, it wasn't like today where radio is everywhere and everybody's listening to everything. It was a little different. But, so those were your earlier influences, and then, but it must have been strange playing with all of them later on and doing stuff. I mean,
it was. It was strange,
but awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, I mean, I've never jammed with my idols. I mean, the guys that I looked up to that got me into guitar, but it's interesting. But it was a different. The other thing that was interesting about that scene too, like my early guitar teacher, he was from Louisiana, and he used to play the club circuit over there a lot. So he was an interesting guy, and his background totally different than what you were seeing, because I'm native of here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different perspective. It was a different thing. So when did you start gigging?
I started gigging when I was, about 14 years old.
Wow, 14.
Going off into little small clubs and stuff.
Would they let you play?
Yeah.
So it was much... we tried sometimes, but we couldn't. The child labor laws were strict when I was younger. We had to stop like at 10 o'clock. We couldn't play later. That must have been fun.
Yeah, my parents would let me play. But when I finished, out the door I went.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Now, when you were gigging, what were you using back then?
I was using a Fender Telecaster.
Oh, okay. Now, if you had that guitar now, you know how much that thing would be worth.
That sure hurt me when somebody liked it better than I did.
So that was one of the ones that was stolen from you, but so you had that for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And what amp did you use back then?
I used Deluxe.
Oh, wow. Tweed or Blackface?
Tweed.
Oh man, that's like the sound. Fender Deluxe Tweed. Wow. Well, let me play a clip so you guys can get an idea what we're talking about here. This is from his album Bare Knuckle that was released in 2010, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play Please, Mr. President, make a political statement. Let's open up with a political here. Anyway, take a listen. You'll hear his tone is phenomenal.
I used to have a good job, working 40 hard hours a week. Had money in the bank. Now they need a banger trying to put me in the street. some stimulus on me. Please, Mr. President, place some stimulus on me. 'Cause I'm just a working man trying to feed my family. I'm playing this for you, my president.
Great sound, just a great sound. I love that, the playing and the tone, your tone. Now, this album was done in 2010. What were you using? What guitar did you use on this? The G&L, yeah. This G&L right here.
Yeah, it's the head of the guitar.
This is Red?
Yeah.
That's the name? You named it. Yeah. Red, it's Red. This is a lift it up a little bit so people can see this guitar. It's really beautiful. It has a little logo, a G&L logo on it, up on the top by the horn. And it's a Legacy Special. And maple, and what is that, an alder body? Do you know what, it's an alder body? And these pickups you were telling me before the show were specially made for you?
Yeah.
So they were made by G&L, but if you take a look, I'm going to shoot a picture while I'm talking to get a close-up of it. They're blade-style pickups. So the magnet goes all the way across. It's not the pole pieces like the traditional Strat or the G&L pickup there. And it sounds great. Gold hardware. He has a special device that they made for him, the tremolo, right? Correct? That locks it.
Right here.
Do you use the whammy bar a lot or not as much?
Sometimes I do.
You do?
That's something I'll be using. Don't realize it.
Okay. Now, in this song, the tone that you're getting, what are you using two pickups or are you using just one pickup? Because it gets a really nice kind of out of phase type of tone. Okay, so he's between the treble and the middle pick, the bridge and the middle pickup.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and play a little bit with that. You might. I don't know if he needs it. So it gets that kind of a what they call the out of phase sound, but it's a really nice tone.
Then when I do crank it up, it comes out more.
Yeah, you get more of the you're rolling back the volume right now, so you're losing you're filtering a little bit of the highs. When you open that thing wide open, you get that real you get that real glassy type of sound, which is really great. Now let me ask you real quick before we get to the pedal board. And listen to some more clips. What did you ask when you went to G&L? What were you looking for? What did you give them specific things that you wanted on the guitar?
When I first went there, they gave me a guitar just like this, and I wasn't satisfied with the tone. And I told them I wanted three pickups, but I wanted them hotter than what the original one was. So they said, okay, sure. They said, what we'll do, we'll take this guitar in, and we'll keep it for maybe a couple of weeks, and you come back. And when I went back, then he put it on the amp, it blew me away.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Is the gain of the pickups, but you still get the full range. You're getting a bright sound, which you use. That's part of your signature, is that crisp, clear, glassy type sound. Even though you're overdriving the amp, But it's amazing how they did that without losing the top end. Because usually, like we've known, Kathy will know from the old days with the Super Distortions, which were really wound, heavily wound, high output humbuckers, they just had no top end. It just got like all mid-range.
And pretty muddy, too.
Yeah, so it just didn't have that tone. But this thing is just amazing.
It screams.
So that was basically it. You just had them change the pickups and everything else is fine.
See those two blades?
Mm-hmm.
That's two pickups.
Two coils. So they're humbuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, they are humbuckers. Okay. That's interesting. Now, before this guitar, you were basically using the Tele, and it was just a stock Tele?
That's what I was using.
Okay. So, that must have been a big difference because the Tele didn't have that kind of output out of it.
Oh, this thing here, man.
Yeah. The gain is, it's hard to tell because we have it mic'd, and I'm using an amp that's a lower volume amp, but this thing really, if you can hear it in the recordings, it really screams. Well, I'm going to play another clip that shows the octave box, and that'll be a good lead in to talk about this pedal board a little bit. So let me play this. This is called Too Hard to Love You. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll notice in the clips I'm playing tonight, I'm trying to grab the lead where he does the lead, but then I spill into the verse. And the reason I'm doing that is I want you guys to listen to how he phrases around the vocal. So he'll sing and then he answers himself on the guitar, and there's an art to that, and he's one of the guys that just, it's 100% taste. So take a listen. As you listen to these clips, you're going to hear him come back in and start singing, but listen how he answers himself. That to me is something worth listening to. So anyway, here is Too Hard to Live By. Let me grab it. Too Hard to Love You. I can't read my own writing. Too Hard to Love You. This is the clip, and he's using the octobox. For you.
I work all day like a prisoner. I sweat for the overtime. By the time I get home, you're messing around. To love you, you make it too hard to love you. You just want money. I will not keep buying your love now. I just can't make enough money for you.
Great sound. Yeah. Now, so you're using the G&L on this tune too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have two octave boxes on your pedal board. Which one were you using for that sound?
Well, that one I was using
the Hendrix one?
Yeah. This
the Jimi Hendrix one, octave fuzz.
Yeah.
And but you have two. Now, what's the difference between that and the Octavio?
The Octavio, what is that?
It's right here.
Right here, sorry.
I would have this on.
Okay.
I just push it on. Mm-hmm. That'd be a mix on both of them.
So you use two octave boxes at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now, are they split? Because I know you use two amps. Are they split to each amp, or do they go into each other?
They go into each other.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead and Turn them on. Let's hear what it sounds like. I'm dying to hear this.
The guitar, his tone there, is so perfectly voiced with the clavinet there.
I love the clavinet.
It was amazing.
That's a blast from the past, is the clavinet. Okay, I don't know if it's on, if it's kicked in.
You make that in?
Now, we put the board up, so we're going to talk about this in a minute. So the board is set up so he can't stomp on it, so Kathy's going to be his feet.
That pedal is all right. That bone. You can hear it right there.
Responds when he digs in, you get the. I notice when you play light, you don't really hear too much until you really
bear on it.
Yeah, you go for it, yeah. And then it comes through. So, yeah, that is a great sound. That's I haven't heard that in a while, but you're right with the clavinet, it's just perfect.
And his settings, Shorty's settings are actually pretty modest.
Yeah, I noticed that when he was setting up earlier before the show. It's not. He's not really pushing the pedals a lot. He's just using it a little bit to goose the signal, and a lot of it's in his playing. Mm-hmm. I noticed that you have a lot of dynamics in your playing. You play very light, and then you get very loud, and you dig into the guitar. So let's talk a little bit about the creation of this pedal board. What were you looking for in terms of what were the needs that you need the demands that you needed to obviously put all these pedals together in a way that was cohesive, easy to set up, and pretty straightforward. So I want to kind of go through this a little bit, what your needs were, and then I'm going to go to Kathy being approached to build this thing and what you saw the issues and what was needed to be done. So I'll start with you.
Okay, now what I really like push that pedal up.
Now he's using a PS6 Boss Harmonist. So he's using a harmony. Yeah. So is that harmonizing below the note or above the note?
Below.
Below the note.
Yeah.
So it's doing an octave below his normal the guitar. So go ahead and play a little bit so they can hear it. I've never heard of that pedal. I've never seen that pedal before, the Harmonist. But so you wanted that. That was a key one, a harmonizer.
Yeah.
And that's nice. I mean, for the size of the pedal, and it gets a nice, it's a good harmonizer. I mean, it's a lot smaller than the Eventide. That's for sure. So anyway, so that was one of the pedals. So what was your, before you built this pedal board system, what was your setup before? So what were you using before?
I was using three pedals.
Three? Okay. So what were those? Obviously the wah, I would think.
Yeah, I used wah. And then I was using this here.
The Ibanez tube screamer?
Yeah, and then I would use the flanger.
The flanger.
Yeah.
Okay. And was that just through one amp or two amps? Just one.
Two
amps.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you daisy chain them or did they? Because that's not those pedals are not stereo. So what did you do? Just run out from those pedals to just both of them at the same time?
Same time.
So just two amps.
Yeah.
But it's basically a mono signal.
Mono signal.
Yeah. Okay. And now you use what? Twins?
Yeah.
Twins. Two twins. And What's your basic setting on there? They're fairly clean, right? You're getting all the dirt from the pedals, right?
Yeah.
So what would be a normal setup in terms of the on the twin, your volume?
Well, I set the volume around 3.
Really? That low?
Yeah.
So you don't get that loud on stage? That's amazing. That's pretty clean. Those twins are almost hi-fi at that level.
Yeah, I keep the twins in good shape, too.
Oh, okay. So you're using your own. You don't backline. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Now, is it a newer twin or an older one?
Oh, that was back in. I had two just like I got now. Somebody liked them better than I did. They ripped my van, my trailer, everything I had. And I looked at and got these, what I got now? Same ones.
So what year are they?
I think about 1980s.
He's somewhere along there. 1980s. Shorty's using the Red Knob Twins.
The Red Knob Twins?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a newer one.
Yeah. 100 okay. watts.
What's he use? What are the speakers, you know?
I'm pretty sure you've got the stock standard Fender speakers.
They're Jensens or are they Bluebacks?
They're not Bluebacks.
They're Blueback.
They are. Yeah. Okay.
They're Blueback, so it's the Blueback. It might not be a Jensen. I forgot who made those. But
could be Eminence.
Okay. So you're that's a oh wow, that's an interesting those pretty interesting sound. So let's get back to this a little more. So you had the two amps. So what did you tell Kathy when you wanted this? What did you want in terms of the pedal board? Besides
help.
Just help.
I told her what I wanted and I wanted the that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 pedal. That's what I wanted.
Okay.
And I wanted that one.
The delay.
I wanted that one.
That's the DD what? Kathy, you have to tell us the name. The DD3.
And then I wanted this one.
The dynamic wah.
I use that. And don't be using that.
Oh, okay. So the Morley's a volume pedal and a wah.
Yeah.
It's a volume wah. Mm-hmm.
And a boost.
And a boost, that's
and
right.
And a boost.
And I used that's what I used to do. And sometimes I go through this one. That's the
Harmonist.
This one there? What about this one?
That's
and
the
that's
other
a flanger.
So you have two different flangers, right?
Yeah.
Those are different models, right?
He has a BF2 and he has a BF3. And the BF3 is a bass flanger.
Oh, okay.
And he uses them entirely different than each other.
And BF3 flanger. So I presume you kick in the bass flanger when you do the octave thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he has a super shifter.
Which is another harmonizer.
So that goes octave above
or
octave below. So the Harmonist goes below. The super shifter goes above. Then he has a digital delay, two flangers, one for when he uses the lower. Then you have a compression sustain. And then the dynamic wah. Now, let me ask Kathy, what's the signal flow of this board?
Well, I think it goes, it's been a while since I've done it. I think we're going, no, we're not going into the tuner first because that would cut everything.
Yeah.
So we might be going into the Octavio first because just the way the Octavio might have a germanium in it. So it might have been the first thing that we needed to see.
Okay.
The Morley wall was early on in the chain, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So if he's in the overdrive, he's pushing the pedals?
Yeah, because this has a boost as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's desirable because you're boosting into the pedals. Wouldn't that overdrive the pedals?
I don't think he doesn't really use the boost that much.
Okay.
He's just using the wah feature and the volume pedal part of it. It's been a while since I've wired this board. I remember we were doing stuff, the dirt pedals were early on, mm-hmm. the fuzzes, and the Ibanez Tube Screamer. Probably the whammy pedal, and then we were following a signal chain, or the compressor might have been early on too, probably before the whammy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were following the pitch shifting,
mm-hmm.
and probably in the dynamic wah, and into the modulation, and then out the delay here. And then, of course, everything's fed into the Morley AB, which goes to both amps.
To the two amps. And then there's another pedal. There's a Fender pedal for the reverb and channel select.
Right, for one of the amps. Right, exactly.
Okay, now, let me ask you, so he's using the distortion in front rather than at the end of the chain.
He's using it in front, yeah.
Both the octaves and the Ibanez are at the beginning of the chain.
Yes.
With the volume pedal.
With the volume
pedal. All going into the rest of the signal chain, the flangers.
Right.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, we had the boost pretty early on. Because we did try a couple of different ways, or at least I did. One of the things Shorty wanted early on was definitely this Morley pedal.
Yeah.
This goes long way back with him. And we tried a couple of different replacements, and he didn't like them. I didn't like them.
Really?
They weren't the same pedal as this.
Now, you've always used the Morley, right? And that's the one that you let Hendrix borrow, right? Was the Morley pedal,
yeah.
Which is interesting. Because he ended up using the Voxes and a lot. But did you ever use early on any of the Vox or the Clyde McCoys?
No.
You always had that one. Because that was I remember when that came out, it was pretty popular. And then that volume boost wah, the whole thing. Was a big thing back then when you didn't have pedal boards that
actually,
did everything.
This is a pretty hard to find pedal too, because I remember when we were looking for replacements, we were having trouble.
Oh, Morley doesn't make it anymore.
Oh no, this is definitely a vintage pedal, and to find one that was in good shape that was actually operational, we had some trouble replacing that.
Mm.
It's an AC pedal, so you know. It's not, you can't use it with a battery. So we had to incorporate it. I mean, you could tell if it's off, if it's on. I mean, it just definitely, you know. But the tone of the pedal is phenomenal.
No, it's got that sound. I'll play a clip in a minute with the wah. But now, did you have to do any buffering? There's a lot of pedals. That's a lot of circuitry. And he's not using any type of loop system to in and out the system, you know, the
I don't
chain.
We don't have a buffer on it. We could, because when I first gave Shorty the board, we went through it extensively. I mean, we took a day, and Shorty just went through every pedal. And I asked him, you know, at the point, I said, how's the high end to you? And, you know. He didn't feel he was losing any high end at that point. So, which is typically, you know, you would worry about that with long cable lengths, and especially with a board this size. But, you know, if we heard like some significant signal loss and high-end roll-off, we definitely would have put a input buffer and maybe an output buffer there. But
well, with the overdrive boosting, so maybe it compensates for it in there.
Well, and you are getting some buffered from all these boss pedals too. Every boss pedal has a buffer in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's kind of naturally in there. That's another reason why they're placed where they are, is not to impede anything to do with the Octavio. So that was another thing. And of course, the Octavio, we've had to convert the battery to plug into his. Right.
They don't have batteries in it.
Right. It's plugged into your system. Yeah, we converted.
I got a brand new one. I'm sitting up ahead of the house on my desk.
So what power supply are you using on this?
I think we're using Voodoo Labs and Mondo. We're using a pretty big power supply because we needed the courtesy AC outlet for the Morley wall. So, you can, we've got a significant amount of pedals.
So the Morley and the Whammy pedal, that those are AC, their own power?
No, the I'm pretty sure the Whammy pedal is, we're powering this off the, I have to look underneath.
Is that an 18 volt or something? I'm sure that's a...
If this is a version 5, it's powered off the thing. If it's not, we then it probably has a wall wart under there.
Somewhere.
And we're playing. It's been a while since I've done it. It looks like a newer version 5, but
besides the, you've got 11 pedals running. That's a pretty hefty signal chain. Now, do you find yourself using the dynamic wah more than the regular wah now, or do you still use the regular wah?
I use the
regular wah. Well, let me play a clip showing the wah, and this is Texas Women. So take a listen to this. This is a cool clip. You'll get an idea of what this Morley sounds like, because it definitely has a great tone to it. So here's Texas Women.
They just need a real man. Texas from L.A. Want to see my Texas woman every single day. Those Hollywood ladies, they can be all right. But give me a wild Texas woman each and every night. Women born in Texas,
that's a great sounding wah. That filter is nice. That's really nice. The was going to ask you though, is the what now, you've been using this quite a while. How long has this pedal board been in existence?
We've known each other at least 3 years now.
3 years. Now, what is there anything else you want to put on there?
On this pedal?
On this pedal board. Is there any other pedal that you like that you've seen?
I haven't looked yet.
Really? Most of the basic food groups, as we say.
I got to tell you, when I first met, we had to figure out what he had lost that he was using. Then he had some other pedals that he was considering. When I first met him, we had to figure out what pedals he lost. Then he had some pedals he was considering putting on the old board. So we took that into consideration, and then he surprised me with a whole lot of new pedals. And next thing I know,
what did he have before?
Well, the Morley was one of them. He had a whammy from before, too. And, of course, you had an Octavio from before.
Yeah.
He also had an octave fuzz as well.
And
that
really,
was lost, yeah. Of course, the Tube Screamer. And he had some other pedals that he didn't lose, that he just had lying around that weren't being used. And some of them are the Boss Flangers. And then a couple of them he brought in, he got new pedals to put on here, too. By the time we were done, we were at 13 pedals here. So we had to get, a big enough board and big enough power supply to put everything on there and, you know, and then make sure everything worked and then figure out the signal chain we were going to do that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest variable in here was, of course, incorporating a vintage pedal, but it was key to his tone, and a modern substitute wasn't going to work.
Right. There was no way to go in there and actually tweak it to get it to, like, shield it more and stuff like that, because that's what it is. I know those are noisy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it, you know,
the hiss you're hearing now, that's from the pedal.
I didn't see a way to do that without disturbing the pedal.
Yeah.
And that, at that point, you sort of live with some noise as opposed to tone.
Right.
And like I mentioned earlier, there were a couple of quieter pedals that we could have actually incorporated inside an isolated tap. They weren't even close to the tone of this pedal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is its own thing. And part of being its own thing is it's an AC pedal.
Yeah. No, no, you can hear the sweep of the wah there. I can tell. That's that sound. It's a very good sound. So, but the, okay, so you had replaced some of them, and then he added some more. Did he use the dual flangers before, or did he have, is that something that you added on with the new board?
Well, I don't know, Shorty. I mean, did you use them prior to?
The dual flangers?
Yeah.
The two flangers.
Yeah, I did.
You did.
Because he had them.
Now, do you ever, you use one at a time, right? You don't use both of them together. You use both of them together? All right. You gotta put that on. I want to hear that. I've played around with phasing, like chaining phasers, and it gets crazy. But give me an example of what you're doing with the dual flanger. Okay, so that's on, and that's on. Okay. Break that down for a minute so we see what he's doing. Take out the flangers real quick, and I just want to hear his straight signal at this point. So just play a little bit, Shorty. Okay, so it's basically a clean sound. He's not using any distortion or anything like that. So the first flanger, hit the first one. So that has a pretty good sweep and regeneration going on. Kick that out and put the other one on. Let's see what the other one's doing. So this one's more radical. Okay, then put both of them back in again. That's incredible. What I'm amazed is that it's not like canceling itself out. It's like it actually enhances the sweep you're getting a much more radical flange to it. You can hear it right there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, yeah. Well,
that's amazing. But he gets that tone that it's hard to describe what that is.
Yeah, if I go to treble all the way.
It gets that real top end bite to it. It breaks up at the top end. That's really nice. That's pretty radical. That's okay. So you've been doing that for a while. And you're always using the Boss flangers were your flanger of choice.
Okay. What, one of the reasons, too, I remember, too, you asked. Because I asked you, you sure you want both? He said, oh, yeah, I want both. He didn't have room on his older board. He had an SKB. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have the real estate to put all this on. And he says, okay, since we're redoing it, these are all the things I want to have on there. Because he obviously had been using them and prior to that. And this was the culmination of having the opportunity to do just that. And I remember the day I brought him the board, we spent the better part of the day. Well, he spent it. I was just sitting in awe of him tweaking sounds out of there that I've never heard come out of a pedal board.
Yeah.
And especially for a world-class blues player as him.
You can tell that you know what you're getting, you know what sound you're trying to get, because there's specific things that he's doing. There's a reason why those two flangers work in conjunction to each other, because they're not synced. So it's fine-tuning those adjustments that's making that work, because that could be a disaster if not used right. As you well know, as you were tweaking know it can be a total disaster. So, well, let's take a listen to a couple other things here. I want to, because we're almost out of time, the Super Shifter, let's take a look at some, and the dynamic wah. Let's take a listen to some of the stuff here. We heard the super the harmonist, so let's hear the Super Shifter. Is that on?
It's on.
Kick it out and see what it's okay.
Yeah, the guy been messing with that one.
Yeah.
It's doing something. I just don't know how to describe it.
What's this knob right here?
That's your delay time and speed.
The delay?
Yeah.
Turn it off to the left.
It's overdue for a refurbish.
We should definitely hear something.
Yeah, I would think it'd be more. All right, let's go ahead to the dynamic wah. Go ahead and take that out, and let's hear this guy. He was playing with this before the show. Thank you. that more for like when you're playing rhythm?
Yeah.
Because I noticed you went to chords on it. That is cool. Well, we're out of time. I told you this would go by real fast. Real quick, Kathy, let us know where Shorty's playing. And also let us know where you're playing. Let us know. It's www.guitarshorty.com is his website, and you can get his album. I don't have the cover for it, but this is called Bare Knuckle. It's a really good album. And I just want to make a shout-out to Dennis Jones, who wrote, I think the song is Temporary Woman that you're doing on there. Great guitar player. He was on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, and he's long overdue to come back on this show. I got to get him back on here. But Bare Knuckle is the name of the album, and it's you can get it on the site, and it's also on Amazon. So give the dates on the on their playing.
Okay, Shorty is going to be Tuesday, April 30th at the Buffalo Rose in Golden, Colorado. Friday, May 3rd at Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis, Tennessee. Thursday, May 23rd, he's at Tailgater Sports Bar in Bolingbrook, Illinois. Then he Saturday, June 1st, he's back here in California at the Mint in Los Angeles with Leon Hendricks. That is a show not to be missed. Shorty and Leon Hendricks is the same thing at the Mint, June 1st. Mark your calendar for that one. Then Sunday, June 16th, he's at St. Rock's in Hermosa Beach. Sunday, June 23rd, he's at the Rose in Pasadena. Again, not to be missed. And then September the 5th through the 9th, you're in Las Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel for the Big Blues Bender.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
A bunch of all-star blue players, but Shorty's there.
That you should
be good.
You got
multiple dates in there, too.
And for people to for more information on Tone Zone LA, give them your contact information.
www.tonezonela.com. And you can reach Guitar Shorty if you want more information. www.guitarshorty.com.
Yes. And you might as well mention you're going to be playing at the Rose too, right?
We're going to be playing at St. Rock's on May 17th and the Rose on May 19th.
May 19th. So there's plenty of stuff happening with all you guys. I want to thank you again, Kathy, for putting this together. And Guitar Shorty, it's really an honor to have you here. And I'm really grateful. This is interesting. I'm blown away. I'm going to go home thinking about these two flangers. It's amazing what you're doing on that system. I'm going to take us out with a clip. This is The Sting from the album. And I'm going to take out the last, like, third of the song. And you get it. Again, it's just a good example of some taste, great tone. And this guitar is great. Check out G&L Guitars. They're great guys. And as you can see, they really respond to getting a guitar, setting up a guitar. There's their custom shop, David Brown over there, is amazing. And he works really hard to get what you want. And for the price, they're reasonable for a custom guitar. But this thing's amazing. I really like the sound of this guitar. And I like those pickups. I'm going to have to ask for the Guitar Shorty pickups. So anyway, check that out. Check out this album and go to the website. This is The Sting, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us, and you'll like this. This is good.
More things change.